Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week I bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And boy, do I have an exciting guest tonight. I've read her book, and wow, it's quite a story. Her name is Miriam Delicato, and she has written a book called Blue Star, Fulfilling Prophecy, which is an amazing account of her own experiences with UFOs and extraterrestrials. Of course, it's much more than that, though. It's also a spiritual journey, a story of an amazing spiritual journey, and a story of basically our planet and the conditions we're in and the future of our planet and some very interesting prophecies. I've read a lot of UFO books, as I'm sure my listeners know. And so when I picked up this book, boy, I knew from the first page that it was going to be an excellent book, and it was gripping the whole way through. You don't often get to read a book by an experiencer, for one thing. But on the second hand, this is an experiencer who really has an excellent recall of her experiences. I mean, there's a lot of people who only recall their UFO experiences through hypnosis, and well, that's not the case here. She has had an enormous number of fully conscious experiences, and it takes a very positive viewpoint, actually, towards the phenomena, which I find very refreshing, because I've always been of the belief that if the ETs were here to take over our planet, well, they could have done so many, many centuries ago. They've been here for thousands of years, and I have no doubt that they are deeply involved with our planet and with people. And I know people have negative experiences as well, but people have positive experiences too, which you don't hear a lot about. But you're going to hear some amazing stuff tonight from our guest, Miriam Delicato. Miriam, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Well, it is absolutely my pleasure, and I am very, very happy to be here. And I have to say thank you for that wonderful introduction. It was very nice to hear that you enjoyed the book.
Oh, you know, I really did, and because I mean, it just works on so many different levels, and it's very well written and very exciting. On top of that, so the connection with the whole Hopi Indians and. You know, I've always felt very drawn towards that, and I've read all I can get my hands on. So to just see it all tied together like this it's just outstanding. And I just want to congratulate you and thank you for putting out this information, because you didn't have to do that. You could have just kept quiet, like I think most people do. But
you
put it out there.
Well, Preston, I think that it's important for everyone to understand that, from my viewpoint, that me coming forward would not have been possible if it wasn't for people like yourself and other people in the trenches really helping to educate the people about this presence on the planet. And if we didn't have that education happening for a really long time, people like myself would never come forward. So I think that I would have to say thank you to everyone else out there, like yourself, because that's the whole reason why I'm able to share the knowledge in my book and in my presentations that I give and on my website and so forth. And I have, in writing this book, tried to help people to understand that people like myself who have had these types of experiences are very normal people living very normal lives, and we've had extraordinary experiences and how it's affected us both emotionally and spiritually, and the viewpoints that come up are really fascinating even to me, because right from the very beginning of my life, I, all of course, in reading the book, you know this, I felt different, and how all of these little pieces of my life have fit together even to myself is absolutely extraordinary and remarkable, because it ties in all of the information that they gave me, these tall, blonde beings that I had a physical encounter with in 1988, all of the information that they gave me at that time ties into everything that we are looking at today, which is who we are as a species, who we are as human beings, and where we are headed for our future. So it's really exciting when people get excited about what I've shared, because it means that we have reached another level of awareness that is enabling people like myself to come forward and just share that little bit more in order to facilitate a better understanding as to what's happening and who these beings are.
Right. Well, you certainly have a lot of information in the book. And so let's just get started. I mean, you've had experiences since you were very young, and apparently your father did as well, judging from some of the things he said. You want to share a little bit of how all this began for you?
Yes. When I was very young, my father, of course, was a very different kind of a man, and growing up with him was a little bit odd, because today we would call him just very, we'd call him a healer rather than some of the other more negative terms that he was called. But he was a very interesting man, and still to this day I think he's one of the most intelligent people I've ever known. But over the course of my life, you know, I wasn't aware of this contact with him, and it wasn't until after my big contact in 1988 that it became clear to me that, of course, he had had contact. And immediately after I walked off that craft in 1988, I knew that my father had had ET contact with the same group, simply because some of the phrases that he used and keywords that he used and some of the things that he did in his life indicated to me that he had this knowledge. And when I finally was able to share with him and talk to him about my physical encounter in 88 on the highway, he, of course, confirmed to me right away, just by his comments, that he knew all about them. Because he said, you know, after I explained in detail only about what happened that night when I had my physical encounter, he looked at me and he said, you know, why didn't you tell me sooner? Maybe I could have stopped them. And I thought, you know, why would you want to stop them? I thought that as well. But also, it just said to me that he knew all about them. There were some really strange comments that he made to me regarding the ETs. And actually, Preston, more recently, one of his comments to me was that he was proud of me writing the book, but he was upset that people might find out that he too saw these beings. And at the same time, he made the comment to me that he was concerned that I would be ridiculed. And that is the primary reason that he has always said, leave it alone, don't get involved, don't do anything, is because of the ridicule that he had faced all of his life over this subject matter.
Wow. Well, just out of curiosity, have you had any experiences with ridicule, having, you know, come out with your story?
So far, no, I have not, actually. I have had surprisingly open arms and open minds to the people that I've shared this information with, but I also know that I'm being very careful in my personal life who it is that I share this information with. And I have not shared it openly, meaning, you know, completely openly in my family's hometown. I've actually tried to protect them as much as I could because of that, in fear for them. Not so much myself. I'm not concerned about that. But it's surprisingly been a positive response.
All right. Well, you know, that's been my experience as well. And I think people are pretty much coming around. There's so many people who are seeing this stuff. It's on the news. There are shows on it. Larry King is constantly doing episodes on UFOs. So I think people are coming around. I hope they are.
I believe that they are as well. One of the things that concerns me, and you've already touched on it, Preston, is that there are many different facets to this particular phenomenon, and we need to be very careful as people that are putting it out there, we need to be very, very careful about what it is that we say to the public. And if we are only showing one viewpoint, then it becomes dangerous because, again, the people are not being well informed. And there is a presence that is not as positive. But, you know, again, all sides need to have a voice and be able to share with the world. And I think that is where people like yourself come in, and it's great because I found that so far with my sort of coming out with ever to the world, that most of the interviews that I have encountered thus far are presenting more than one side to it with an open, honest mind in all directions, and that's, of course, very important.
Right. Well, I think blind belief is as dangerous as skepticism, and we do have to examine all of this objectively as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you
know, so you've had experiences since you were a little girl, huh? Now, what were some of your early experiences?
Well, again, I always refer as sort of a reference point to this encounter in 1988 that was sort of the awakening, the reawakening and the final awakening. It was the point where all of this information that I'd been learning over the course of my life up to the age of 22 when this took place in 88, some of these memories of childhood came back to me. And I did not remember the one in specifically from when I was a baby or when I was 4 years old. I had no recall at all about that period until 1988. But, you know, I've seen them hovering over me when I was a baby. And my father sort of confirmed that to me by saying to me, making comments that they were always around him at that time, which was the same year that I was born. Then when I was 4 years old, of course, I had a physical encounter that one of my sisters was present at. And the remarkable thing with this, and this one is just a story in itself, even for me, because this encounter that happened when I was 4 years old, when I initially told my family about my experiences, I said nothing about any other time. I just gave them a really sort of glossy picture of what happened to me on the highway. And I asked my family, I said, do you ever remember anything strange? I asked my sisters and my mother. Well, my one sister said yes, and she made a comment about a light that she saw over, I call it the barn. And I knew about this because this was the memory that I had come rushing back to me. So over the course of, I believe it was 17 years, Preston, this memory with her, she couldn't remember anything else, just the light. 6 months later, I asked her, she didn't remember a thing. A year after that, I asked her the same question, do you ever remember anything strange? And she said, yes, I remember the light over the barn and the two of us walking out of the house. And that was it. So what would happen is there's this progression of her memory coming back to form a whole picture. And then when I would ask her the next time, she wouldn't remember a thing. So it took 17 years, but after 17 years, all of the information in the most amazing detail, incredible detail, came back to her. And this was not under hypnosis, by the way. That particular memory did not have anything to do with hypnosis either. And then that incident at age 4 was also confirmed, how many years later was it? 36 years later. 36 years later, it was confirmed by family friends who had said that someone else saw this craft the same year that I was 4 years old, in front of the house, exactly in the same position where we had said that it was. So, remarkable things all through my life. And then, of course, as I got older, like most people who have had really amazing contacts, they happen over the course of our lifetimes. and I had contact when I was about 9. I believe it was about 15, 16, somewhere in there. And then again when I was, and then when I was 22 in 1988. And since then, I have no recall of another physical contact except the one that happened in Hopi, and that was with Tall Blonde. So, I guess if you wanted to find a name for the one that I saw on the mesa here in Hopi Land, it would have to be a Nordic. So if somebody needs a reference point to that or for that. So over the course of my life, I've had quite a few encounters, but not as full recall as I did for the encounter at age 4 that came back to me. And I have a lot of recall of the one in 1988.
Well, let's get to that one in 1988, because that seems to be the big one. You know, it's weird that date, I mean, that's when it happened, because that's when I got involved in the UFO phenomena, and I know that's when the whole phenomena just exploded into the media, and just something happened in that year. And so, I don't know, it's just interesting to me that that's the year that you had this major experience. So, what happened?
Well, I would ask you this then also, Preston, because this is really interesting to me as well. There were a lot of people that were sort of like, quote, activated in 1988. I think it's because, I think it may have also had something to do with the political situation on the planet. It could have been that there was something happening, or I'm really not sure. But 1988 was a time in my life that was really fairly normal. You know, I was living a very, very normal life. I was 22 years old. I just moved from a small town into the big city, you know, doing all the things that a 22-year-old does. And then I had this, we decided to take a trip to, from Vancouver, British Columbia, to northern British Columbia. And on this trip, nothing out of the ordinary happened on the way up. On the way down, however, I had been laying in the back seat of the car with my friend and her son, and then my two other friends were in the front seat, and they were driving for quite a while. So I was in the back seat sleeping, and I understood after the event. I didn't understand when it actually took place. I was pulled out of my body into the astral world. I saw a man and a woman there, and they said to me, they said, "We are coming for you soon. Do not be afraid. We are your friends. We are your family. Do not be afraid. We are coming for you soon." That was almost it. And then I kind of woke up in the back seat of the car completely shaken to my core and did not know what to do with this, did not make a statement to any of my friends because they wouldn't have understood what I was talking about anyway, and I knew that.
Right.
And then we switched drivers, so I was then in the passenger seat of the car, and my friend was driving. The other two went into the back and fell asleep. And over the course of hours, these very strange lights would come up and follow us. They were quite large, those two balls of light. And really, they looked like oversized truck lights or something. And they were following us for hours. Every time they did, a strange radio station would come on. Every time they did, what would happen was if we passed a car or a house or something along those lines, they would fall back into nothingness. So it was interesting that this was happening, but it was a little creepy. And eventually what happened was we went through a town where there is absolutely no way that a car could have caught up to us, because when we turned around to look behind us, there was a very long stretch, and a car could not have caught up to us at that point, because it was a little after midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, somewhere around that time, and there wasn't a lot of cars on the road, but still, we turned this corner and went into complete forested area again, and right away, like immediately after that, poof, the lights appeared and disappeared. And they were literally appearing and disappearing in the blink of an eye. So, of course, me and my friend were just panic-stricken, wondering what was going on. And then I told her all of a sudden out of the blue, I screamed at her and told her to pull over the car, which she didn't want to. And just as I was about to grab the steering wheel, she all of a sudden pulled over the car, and there was just light everywhere. I mean everywhere. So I'm on the side of the road. I turn around. There's these balls of light right behind us. My friends all look like they're in suspended animation. I don't know what's going on. Then I look in front of the car, and I see this craft that looks, it's just completely illuminated, and I can't really make it out. I can't make out any details, but these small beings that were about 4 feet tall with round black eyes start walking towards me, and when they did, I could hear them communicating with me telepathically, telling me to get out of the car, and I did. I followed them. I walked over to another craft where they led me, and at the doorway of that craft were two tall, blonde beings with brilliant, the most brilliant, incredibly beautiful blue eyes. And I walked on board the craft with them. And so I spent 3 hours with them, came back to the car, and that was it. Life was never to be viewed or lived the same again for me. And here I am with you today, Dustin.
Wow.
It's been a very long and not always so easy task to get me comfortable enough to be able to share this, but I also understand how important it is, and so that's why I'm sharing it with everyone as much as I can today.
Well, what happened during those 3 hours? What were some of your experiences? What did they talk about to you?
There was so much information that was imparted onto me and into me during that time. You know, people ask, first of all, how I knew that it was 3 hours, and it was because it took me a little while, but I figured it out, first of all, because of the time, how long it took us to drive. So there were some things there that were clear, crystal clear indicators as to how long it took. But what happened when I was on board the craft was, they, you know, for a good portion of it, they had me sitting in what I call a light chair, and that means that light was, it just looked like light. It didn't look like a chair of any kind, and I was seated on this thing, and out in front of me was a screen that sort of appeared out of nowhere in thin air, and on this screen was all of these images, and as the images were being shown to me, I was given information about them. But the interesting thing is, and I try to explain this to people, that this information was not only shared with me telepathically, but it was as though some of the things they showed me were given to me as being an experience rather than just information. Now, they said that there was possibilities of futures of our planet that were not so positive. That there was the potential for cataclysms and great disasters that could take place. But they also said, and they made this very clear, is that humanity had a choice as to how these events would play out. And so, for example, this one image that I saw of looking down at the people, and they had their hands up in the air screaming, asking for help, begging for help. Instead of me seeing that on a screen, it was as though I was really there and I experienced it. And
wow.
So it's hard to walk away from something like that and say, okay, that was really interesting, now I'm going to move on with my life. Because they shared with me things that were so confusing to me at the time, because there was so much given to me so fast about physics and humanity and who we are, where we come from, where we're going, what our actual focuses should be as we're on the planet, and that is to be spiritual beings and to enlighten ourselves and to have the experience of one another and of nature and so forth. But at the same time, to know that there are certain people on the planet that have tasks to do in order to share the knowledge that was given to them, or share knowledge that they simply know that is a better way of life of the planet. And really, they talked about signs and prophecies, if you want to use that word. The name of the book is Blue Star Fulfilling Prophecy, but it's because one of the things they said to me was that one day a star would appear in the sky for all of man to see. Nothing or no one will be able to hide its presence from the world, and it will be a sign to the people that the end is near. The Hopi have something called the Blue Star Prophecy, and when I finally had this epiphany about something with the Hopi that was astounding, because it related back to the information that these ETs had given me, I came across their Blue Star Prophecy and found that it was identical to the information that the ETs gave me. It was also identical to information that these ETs gave me about how human beings really came to be, meaning that there was three worlds prior to this one and that we were living in the fourth world, and the Hopis believed the same thing. So a lot of this information that was given to me was also available as information that the Hopis have known about for thousands and thousands of years. What makes it remarkable today, and I've had people say to me, oh, well, that's nothing new. We know all of that. But I would say this to them. If you know all of that, if you truly know it, then you will be just as moved as I am to make changes in this world. So until you feel that grasp and that grab within you, you don't know anything at all. And so the reason why it is so important today for people like myself to come forward is because the world needs to unite to make a better world. We need to come together in a peaceful way and in whatever way possible that will just help bring about changes that the human being will be living a better life. Because really, Preston, how many of your friends do you know that are actually happy right now? Who isn't happy?
You know, that's funny you say that.
Question.
Yeah, I've asked people that recently, and you know, I think we could be a lot happier. I really do.
We have a call.
Marian?
Yes.
We have a caller. So, caller, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Hi, what's your name? Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I wanted to find out what's in store for me in the very near future. I'm going through a hard time getting financing to finish up a project and to make some moves here to create several businesses in one location, and so far I've been hitting a lot of roadblocks.
So you're asking me to see into your future? Is that what you're sort of asking me to give you an idea as to what's coming up for you personally?
Yes.
No, I appreciate the question, but from my viewpoint in my gifts that I have, I don't use them to help people to move forward in that type of a way. What I can tell you is this, the impression that I get from you is that there's been a lot of hesitation over the course of the last 3 months. There's decisions that you've put off which have jeopardized the things that you're doing, and you need to look at the hesitation that you're having and why you're having it. And if you find out the answer to the hesitation, you're going to understand what course you're supposed to be taking. Because one of the key issues, one of the key points that I try to teach people is that no one out there, regardless of how much they know, can actually tell another human being really anything, because there are so many potentials and possibilities of futures in the smaller details of a human life that it's really difficult to be able to say, okay, this is what's coming for you. Because by verbalizing those things, we actually have a tendency to change them. So it's a matter of this hesitation that you're having. You need to sit with yourself very quietly and say, you know, why am I having this hesitation? Because I truly believe that if you do that, you sit quietly and ask yourself that, you're going to get the answer as to why it is and what direction you should be taking. Because I see some things that are changing in your life, but You know, these are all very vague, vague things that I'm telling you. And I won't get into more detail because you need to find a be responsible for the decisions that you're making. And that's why I've never in my life charged to do, quote, readings for people, because I don't really, I don't choose to go in that direction. But I thank you very much for asking me.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that was kind of interesting. I know you had a bunch of psychic experiences in your book. You've mentioned
yes.
some of them, and it's interesting because a lot of the people I've interviewed who are also having very extensive contact report pretty much identical types of experiences. I mean, you know, psychic experiences, healing experiences. So that seems to be a commonality. I'm not sure if the ETs are attracted to people who, you know, are open-minded in this way, or if they help spark some of the intuition in us. But it could
well,
be both.
This is a question that I've been asked by almost every interviewer because it does, of course, create a very interesting question. It is very clear to me from all that I know and all the information that I have that it's not the fact that I have these gifts that attracts them. It's that that it runs in my family and that they've had a part in that and that they've had a part in helping, you know, the people in my family and myself have these gifts. So I know that for myself, for a 2-year period after my contact in 1988, I was so out there that it was as though I was in touch with everything and everyone all at the same time for 2 years. And a lot of people I've learned have also had the same time period, about 2 years, where if you've had a, quote, physical contact, the psychic awareness is really heightened at that point for a very long period of time. And I know that every time I see them, I'm just brought to a whole new level every time I see them. So they're facilitating, they're helping, and they're helping to help us as human beings be awake and aware enough to be able to do this on our own, not just with the single and the few, but to bring it to the masses. And I think that that's where people like myself come in, because we help to bring about just little pieces of information that helps the brain actually fire in certain areas and then activates the information.
Well, it's just so interesting. No, it makes total sense, and it's just so interesting to me what you're saying. You know, there's several cases where pilots have seen UFOs, and they're later questioned by some aspect of our government, you know, some officials, who ask them if they've experienced any out-of-body experiences following their sighting, which I thought was fascinating because, you know, I got really, you know, after I got into UFOs, I'm not, you know, an experiencer. I've seen them, certainly, but I got really into out-of-body experiences as well and got really good at it at one point and have had a bunch of psychic experiences as well. So this stuff does go hand in hand. And one guy, I have to tell you this, I interviewed him. He had an experience as a child, and he saw these Nordics, these tall blondes, whatever you want to call them, and didn't have a lot of conscious memory of it. He did remember, you know, just talking with them. And he said he came away from this experience just profoundly changed. He had a whole new awareness. He was still a child, but he felt like he had the awareness of an adult. And it just completely changed his life. And another gentleman I talked to, he had a UFO hover over his car while he was driving with a friend. And he said it changed his awareness when this object got close. He says he's never felt as awake ever when he was in the presence of that object. So I totally get what you're saying. Well, everyone, you're listening. Let me just give another station break here. Everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and we're talking to Miriam Delicato about her book, Blue Star Fulfilling Prophecy, which is the amazing story of her UFO experiences and its connection to Hopi Native American prophecies, and much more than that. And you have a website as well. Would you like to give out the website?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. It's www.alienbluestar.com, and you can purchase my book there. And as well, I have a blog site that people can come to and check out. So that's alienbluestar.com, and I look forward to hearing from people.
Cool. Alienbluestar.com, all one word. Awesome.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned in your book, you've got a whole section on this, on clones. Now, this just fascinated me, because you don't hear a lot about this, but, you know, I've certainly heard some being in this field, you know, for a while. So what can you share about your experiences with that?
Well, with the clones, I just want to go back for just a moment and explain something about why the people that come into the physical presence of these beings and their craft are changed. And it actually has to do with the firing of the brain, because the brain has patterns that it is able to, the pathways of the brain. So, you know, the average person has, let's say, 10 pathways that are excited and able to move around. And whereas a person that's, quote, psychic will have 15 or 20 pathways, and that's actually been scientifically proven. So when you come into the presence of these beings or this object, what happens is different areas of the brain get fired, and that's why you have these psychic experiences and are able to understand so much more. So I just wanted to share that with your listeners and yourself.
Yeah, so that would explain the telepathy and things like that that's taking place as well.
Right. Yes. Yes. It's almost like putting your finger into a light socket. You know, you're not used to that energy. It's going to zap you. So, you know, it's just something that they emit, which is also part of the reason why when some people have had physical encounters and they come back crazy. So, because the brain itself was not able to sort of handle this new electrical charge, because, of course, that's how the brain works, is on electrical charges. Very interesting.
Well, it's like awakening the kundalini or something. I talked to some people who actually started levitating, having all kinds of psychic experiences following their encounters. Wow.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So these clones that I talk about in the book, it's rather fascinating to me. These clones are five men that I encounter over the course of, almost 20 years. And, you know, I nicknamed them the clones. I don't know if they are. I don't know. But what I do know is, you know, I don't know who they were. But what I do know is that they seem to all have a great desire to gather information from me that was identical in nature, meaning they all wanted to know about how much I knew about UFO technologies. They all looked the same. They all had the same hair, style of hair, same glasses, eyes, eye color, skin tone. And the absolute strangest part of the whole thing is that two of them worked together, but then denied that they worked together. There was another one where he didn't have any contact with any of the others that I was aware of, but they're all kind of strange and different, and I don't even know how to explain it to people, but they all looked the same, dressed the same. In other words, they all wore, at some point when I saw them, these strange beige pants, like cargo pants, you know, with the pockets on the side. Well, back 20 years ago, nobody had these kind of pants. It was really odd. And the interesting thing was, I always thought to myself, no one believes me, because I tried to tell people about these clones, and no one listened. Of course they didn't. Until, because I had, at that point I had contact with two of them, until someone else finally was at a conference with me and saw one of these men and was absolutely flabbergasted, because of course he looked exactly like one of these clones that she knew. And then she was just blown away, because he actually had, as she said, he even has the same pair of beige pants. So all five of them had the same beige pants.
Wow.
And the first four of them kind of slipped away. And then the fifth one stayed with me all the way up until 2003. And then at that point, maybe because I started lying through my teeth to him, I don't know, he would ask me questions about where I'd traveled and I wouldn't tell him. He'd ask me, everything that I said to him was just a lie because I was wondering what he would do about it. You know, what action he would take, because for a very long time, I would run into him every time I booked a ticket to go anywhere. Every time I would fly somewhere, he would show up and just sort of make his presence known. And it was really, really odd. It was almost as though he was keeping track.
Do you suppose they're government people or extraterrestrials, or what do you think?
You know, it's such a difficult question for me to answer. Because, you know, it's like myself. The fact that two of them work together implies to me, and I go into detail, we don't have enough time on the show tonight, but because they worked together and the way I was introduced to them and what happened, I mean, there's a lot more information that wasn't really put in the book as well about them. I would have to say that they worked for someone because they worked in the same office and they look the same. So they have to have been with some, quote, group or organization out there. Who that was, I do not know. But they had to have been. And they had to have been aware. They had to have been aware that they were doing this. Because I've also been asked if maybe they weren't conscious of it. And at times I say, well, maybe they weren't conscious of what they were doing. But other times they say, no, they definitely worked for somebody. But I really don't know. I really don't know. What I do know is that in 2003, when I started, because I had a very long period of time where I was told by my ET contacts to not say anything and not talk, not share the information, nothing. And then all of a sudden, I was sort of reawakened in 2003, which, of course, Preston, is a time that many people were reawakened, pushed into another gear, one might say. And so this 2003 was the time where they just sort of slipped back into nowhere. And as soon as I started doing, quote, my work that I was asked to do 20 years ago, they fell away, and I haven't seen one since.
Wow.
So
interesting.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, another thing I found fascinating about your story, I mean, the ETs gave you all this information, you know, and some of it about the future. And, you know, unless anyone be skeptical, some of what they've told you has already happened, right? I mean, like, they told you you would meet a certain gentleman. What was his name?
Oh,
Harold?
Yes.
I mean, that's
yes,
an amazing
Harold.
Story.
Oh, isn't it incredible? You know, I live this life, Preston, and I say this all the time. I live this life, and everyone around me just shakes their head, and then I shake my head. So I'm with the rest of you. In 1988, they told me that I would meet a man who was a Native American on top of a mountain, and I always knew that I would meet him in one of two areas. That when I saw him, I would recognize him. And then they gave me details of what he would look like and so forth, and that he would come to me. And there were just details on who this man was. Then, and that his name was Harold. And so I thought to myself, how on earth am I ever going to find somebody, you know, that like this? It's just ridiculous. And so I said, all right, well, I'll follow along and see what happens. Now, I knew that I would meet him in Arizona, or I thought in Arizona, New Mexico area, basically the Four Corners area, or I would meet him in South America. I knew that it would be one of these two places. And what happened was I did meet this man, and the experience that I had with him was amazing. It was very brief, but I did meet him. And the second that I laid eyes on this man, the second that I did, I recognized him, and I said, oh, my God, it's Harold. And I heard this screaming in my head like a banshee. And it was really a moment in my life that was a turning point, because that, as well as other things about the Four Corners area and about the Hopi and the Blue Star, and the list is endless, Preston. It's just endless. Pushed me to a point where, okay, what do you want me to do now? You know, and as long as everything that they ask me to do is peaceful and I feel is helping to enlighten people and give them more awareness, I will continue to do this work. But I will not go in any kind of dark direction whatsoever. I won't do it. But they did tell me about him. So I have a tendency to say, okay, they told me about this. They told me about many, many other things that were just as detailed as meeting Harold. And then I say to myself, okay, if all of these other things are so completely right and so absolute and so clear, then the rest of these visions that I've had must be. And that brings me back to the point. Everyone may have heard many of these things before, about the fact that the Four Corners is one of the safe lands, that the Hopi have this great knowledge, that we're living in the fourth world. But if you stop just for a moment and say to yourself, not this is already known, but this is how this person, meaning myself, came to this information, then you have to sit down as a human being and reassess yourself and reassess this world and what it is that you're doing in it and the choices that you're making.
Wow. Well, it's interesting because, my sister, she lives in Durango, and before I even read your book, I've been feeling compelled to move there one day. I think I'll know when the time is right.
Well, that's also one of the things that I find is fascinating, because, of course, so many people say, oh, I have to move there. And I'm like, no, you don't. If you are feeling and have been for years, years and years and years, but way before you ever heard my story or people like myself, and you felt compelled to do so, then maybe it is right for you. But I explain it this way. You can't go somewhere because you think it's going to be safe, spend $500,000 on supplies and bunker down and get yourself all ready to go for whatever it is that may be coming.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, if you're not meant to be there, you won't be. Because the day that something happens, you'll have taken a trip out of town. So you need to just listen to yourself and find that quiet space and ask yourself, where is it that I should be? Do I need to be anywhere? And if I do, then where should I be going and what should I be doing and what direction should I be taking? And that's what's really important, is to be able to, for every human being out there, to really open up their hearts and their minds and be able to ask themselves the same questions all the time. What can I do today to facilitate a better world for myself? Because when we do it for ourselves, Preston, instead of for other people, when we do it for ourselves, it ripples out, and we have much more of an effect than if we're trying to do things for other people all the time. It really does come from within, and that's how we affect the world, is by changing our microcosm of our own worlds.
Right. Well, would you say it's entirely possible that this blue star might never appear, and we just move into a better future? If that's a sign of, you know, difficult times to come. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do. As far as the blue star, which is the Hopi prophecy, the blue star is the Hopi prophecy. I need to make this clear. I do not speak on behalf of Hopis in any way, shape, form at all. I can only speak from my experiences, and that is all that I am willing to do. But the Hopi prophecies talk about a time when a blue star appears, and the Hopi are really the only ones that can come forward and say, yes, it has appeared, or no, it has not. For myself, I was told that a star would appear, and there was some criteria that went along with that, and that this star would be seen by every man, woman, and child on Earth. It would be seen from absolutely everywhere, that it would be seen during the day and at night. It would just be, you could possibly see this star during the day as well.
Wow.
And there was something that happened last year in November with Comet Holmes that I believe was almost like a precursor to this blue star. A lot of people are saying that they thought that it was the blue star. I don't know if it was the blue star or not. What I do know is that it had an impact on the world, and that people all over the world were able to see it from every corner of the earth. So was it part of the blue star prophecy? The ones that would have to answer that would be the Hopis. Did this particular event make the criteria for the star that I was told about? No, it did not. But that does not mean that there were not precursors that would come prior to that star. So I believe we're moving into that time where we need to prepare in many ways, and one of them is spiritually, within ourselves, and as well we need to prepare for a new world, which is hopefully one that's built on something called trust and compassion, because we need to trust one another before we can move forward. Mm. And the only way to do that is to be comfortable with yourself, because trust comes from knowing who you are, and it's really important that we do that. And I know that I feel there is the potential of anything at this point, but most important, people need to look at themselves, and by learning who it is that we are as human beings, we then learn about the world and what else is out there. It's a really important aspect of this whole phenomenon.
Right. Well, did they show you anything about our future in terms of good things that are happening? I mean, I know they mentioned possible disasters, but we could also very well have an awakening. I mean, that seems to be the direction we're going towards.
Absolutely. They said that that in the future we would have more of an understanding of who we were, that we would have greater knowledge, that we would be able to have telepathy with one another if we chose to do so. It would not be a constant. That we would have the ability to leave our bodies, in other words, turn into light bodies and come back into our body, that we would be able to have more contact with the other dimensions and worlds. And really, these are the more beautiful things that they've talked about. They've also talked about a time where that we are more connected with the earth, and that we understand more of our responsibility to the earth, which in turn teaches us about the universe and the cosmos and, you know, God, you know, God meaning the creator of them, the creator of us, of everything that there is. And so we are moving into a new time of greater understanding. And that really is the point of this whole process, is to help us be able to understand more of who we are and who our souls and our spirits actually are. And that's the beauty of this. And that's why I don't feel that anything that I say and that I'm sharing is negative, because all of it is leading to the same point, which is greater awareness, peace, and humanity that is more community-based and family-based and caring and sharing and respectful to each other and the earth. And by doing so, we will find that happiness that none of us, you know, very few people out there seem to have right now. Because I'm not happy. I'm not happy in this world, and I'll admit that. I'm not happy because I have to. I'm forced every day to live in a world that is cold and has no understanding and has no compassion and no respect for one another, and I don't care for that. In my moments in my life, I find my great happiness and joy, and I do have that, and I love that because I'm always trying to look at the positive side. But do I have the happiness that people seek? I don't believe anyone on the planet, or very few people on the planet, actually do. There may be indigenous tribes out there that do, because they're still unconnected from this material world being the way that it is.
Right. I've always felt like greed is one of the major things that's killing our planet, honestly. And I hope that just ends soon.
Yes, I agree 100%. Greed is evil. Greed is evil. And greed has to do with materialistic things that, you know, goes right back to something called money. But money isn't it. Money is not the problem. It's the greed. And that's actually very well said, Preston. I really appreciate you saying that, because that's a very beautiful way of being able to communicate everything in one word. It's greed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Beautiful.
Well, your book, I mean, really lifted me up. It was just the kind of UFO book that I really needed to read at that time, because there's, you know, a lot of negativity is out there. And I think you hit it on the head of what's really going on. And that's what most of the people I'm interviewing, and I've talked to so many people recently, 50 or more, they're saying basically the same things you're saying. So it's a very exciting time.
It is, and I'm just grateful to be able to be a part of it and doing the bit that I'm doing and sharing what it is that I can. And I would like to share also, Preston, that in the near future, I think that there's going to be some really exciting things coming from the indigenous people all over the earth, and that we're moving towards a time when possibly these people that have had this knowledge for all of these years will move forward and be able to share a little bit more. So hopefully together, if we reach out and grab the person next to us and really do that with compassion and caring and an open heart, we will and we can and we are changing the world.
All right. Well, do you think the ETs will show themselves officially? And if what do you think is preventing them from doing that?
Well, the tall blondes that I have contact with have made it very clear to me that they have no intention whatsoever of coming forward unless they have to, because that was not their place. They are here as caretakers of the earth, and that is what their, quote, job is. They're not here to take over or do anything along those lines. They're here to help facilitate us as human beings, as the spirits that we are that are currently residing on the planet. But in saying that, they still have things that they are watching for. Meaning, if a time comes when us as human beings are threatening the Earth or complete annihilation of ourselves, for example, they will come forward in mass and show themselves to the world. But that's the only time that they have told me that they would be doing that. They will not come forward at any other time.
All right, and we don't want it happen that way.
No, we don't want it happening that way, and I personally do not want them to land on my front lawn, because as I've explained, when we come into the presence of these beings, it's very, very difficult for the human body and the human mind in order to withstand this new energy. So it makes it difficult, and I don't want them coming here, because they do have certain knowledge that is greater than ours. And as a result of this, and they're just different than us. And I don't really want them here, personally. I don't want to be living next door to them. But some of them might. There may be some that do come to the planet. And they've made that clear also. But to come in mass and live here with us, among us, there is that potential. But if that were to happen, it would probably mean that some cataclysm did take place, and that there are certain people that they would be able to live with, because we would be able to handle their energy. I don't know if that helped to clarify anything or make it more confusing.
Oh, no, it's very, very clear. But you know what, Miriam? Our time is pretty much up. Oh, gosh, I wish we could talk for another hour, but we have just about 1 minute left. So do you have any last messages you want to
give? Any last words? Well, I thank you very much for having me. I would love to come back anytime and talk about any area of this book and get into detail with it. I hope that people do check out my blog, because it's really great, and I think that over the next year it's going to get really exciting. And they can ask me as many questions as they want at alienbluestar.com. And I really just want to thank everyone out there that's working hard at educating themselves on this particular subject matter. And I thank you all very, very much for listening and being here.
Well, thank you, Miriam. It was a delight and an honor, and I want to thank you again for being on the show and sharing your story and writing this book. It's amazing. I hope everyone goes out and reads it right away.
Thank you very, very much, Preston. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
All right. Well, everyone, that is our show tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. My name is Preston Dennett. I'm your host, and you've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads on BBS Radio. Our guest tonight has been Miriam Delicato, who has written a book. You have to read this, guys. I mean, if you're going to pick up a UFO book, this is one I would recommend, honestly, because it has a lot of information, a lot of positive information, and gives, really, I think, an accurate picture of what's going on with the UFO phenomena. It's called Blue Star, Fulfilling Prophecy by Miriam Delicato. Check it out. Her website, again, is www.alienbluestar.com. That's it, guys. I will talk to you next week when I have another exciting guest to talk about UFOs and the paranormal. Till then, have a wonderful night and a great week. Bye.